Order, order.
3 days into the new sitting period and the strain is already taking a toll on Labour's Associate Energy Spokesman Chris Hipkins, who had this question for Energy Minister Gerry Brownlee.
Does he stand by a statement to the House that there is no doubt that the biofuels will play a big part in our energy mix in the future? If so, what is his response to Eco Diesel Chairperson?
Order. I'd ask members to be. Order, I'm on my feet.
When the Speaker is on his feet, no one else can talk or even croak.
All of us at times perhaps get frog in our throat and lose our voices, and so I just invite the member to have a drink of water and members give him a reasonable chance to ask his question.
And that applied to both sides.
I say to the Labour front bench, give their colleague a chance. Chris Hipkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Supplementary, why should the public of New Zealand have any confidence in anything that this minister says when his biodiesel grant scheme has been a total flop? The revised energy strategy he's been promising for 18 months hasn't eventuated. His electricity industry bill has been panned by critics, and his plan to mine national parks has been left in tatters. Or is this just the usual standard of ministerial performance people can expect under a national government?
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Well, I think, Mr. Speaker, the crackly voice performance we heard before indicates that this is a very young man, and none of what he said is true.
Mr. Brownlee waxed slightly more poetical when rejecting a suggestion from Labour's David Parker that the government had no replacement for its abandoned mining plans.
The member should know that one swallow a summer does not make.
David Parker begged to differ.
Has the minister seen the very lonely update on his own ministry's website under New Zealand Economic Development Recent Updates, which only has one entry, which is the large budget screen production grant introduced under Labour and retained without amendment under his busy watch?
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Mr. Speaker, the MED website is an excellent place to find out what the government department is doing, and I commend others to have a look as well.
A similar assurance from Consumer Affairs Minister Axe Heather Roy.
The government has already got a large number of measures in place to deal with the issues that were raised in Ms. Beaumont's bill.
Heather Roy was responding to a question from Carol Beaumont.
Is the minister willing to work with Labour and other parties to find real solutions to the exploitation caused by loan shark activities?
The minister's response was to damn Carol Beaumont's bill with faint praise.
As I said to the member, although her bill that was debated in the House last night had considerable merit, the bill was too limited in scope. There would have been undesirable, unintended consequences from its implementation that would most affect the very people that it aims to protect.
Now on to fraud of a different kind with this report from Rhys Lyon on the Commerce Committee's hearing of submissions on an amendment to copyright law.
The scope of music piracy in this country was outlined by the Recording Industry Association's chief executive, Campbell Smith.
Sales figures for the New Zealand music industry show that for the period 2001 to 2009, the total value of recorded music sales has dropped from $119 million to less than $70 million. During this time, there has been an unprecedented amount of unauthorised copying of recorded music via peer-to-peer file sharing. This illegal downloading has had a very substantial effect, a negative effect, on musicians, composers and record companies.
The Recording Industry Association's barrister, Andrew Brown, opposed other submissions in favour of sending out warnings.
We submit that that's simply not adequate. There needs to be some deterrent consequence which will encourage internet users to change their behaviour.
And Mr. Brown said the bill would penalise music pirates by taking away their internet access.
What the bill provides for is suspension for up to 6 months on the order of a district court judge.
But any suspension of internet access was opposed by technology commentator Lance Wiggs.
The whole point of my submission is to say that disconnection, even for 6 months, is never okay. The other point I made in the submission is that disconnection could even kill.
Mr. Wiggs backed that dramatic claim with an example.
If I'm 16 and I've just been responsible for disconnecting my family from the internet, I'm in trouble. My family isn't really being communicative with me. My friends at school can no longer talk to me. And there's an obvious danger with anxious teenagers of bad things happening. You know, they have depressing times and things could actually end in a bad result. It's very hard to quantify that, but I think it's a very real threat that if you take them away from their community, you're actually causing them, putting them into a place where they could cause harm to themselves.
Technology commentator Lance Wiggs making a submission on the copyright infringing file sharing amendment to the Commerce Committee.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from New Zealand On Air.